This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
This podcast is proudly in association with HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a subscription-based meal kit company that delivers amazing recipes straight to your door. On the app, you'll be able to choose your weekly recipes to meal plan your week. They deliver fresh ingredients straight to your door to make the recipes that have carefully been selected. With step-by-step recipe cards, there's no need to be a chef to cook delicious meals. You have full flexibility on what meals you get and when you get them. It's easy to add extra portions, change recipes, modify your delivery time, or pause your deliveries. We are also delighted to offer a 60% discount to West Ham fans on the first box and then a 25% discount on the following 2 months when you use the code WESTHAMWAY in capital letters. So download the HelloFresh app or visit the website www.hellofresh.co.uk/WESTHAMWAY to get these delicious, easy-to-make meals sent straight to your door. HelloFresh, dinner is solved.
You're listening to the West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West Ham Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. This week we reflect on two defeats that include a loss at home to Fulham for the first time since 2001 and to Leverkusen, which has given us a mountain to climb in the second leg. We talk about more shambolic defending, more cowardly tactics, Antonio's miss, a worrying Premier League stat, George Earthy's debut and Crystal Palace before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. Two games, two defeats. Let's start with Fulham, a side that prior to this game had only won two games away from home all season and hadn't beaten us at home since 2001. Give us your thoughts on that 2-0 loss.
Poor. There's not really much more to say other than that. I think that was a poor performance. Again, defensive mistakes have cost us particularly. Mavropanos is, you know, what is he doing there? Just get rid of it. Do the obvious thing. Put your head or your boot for it and get rid of the ball. I don't know what he's thinking. And if you take into account that, and then Antonio's early miss as well, when really, you know, again, he's done what he does regularly and be so inconsistent. He should have done a lot better with that. Should have finished it. If he'd scored that and Mavropanos hadn't done that mistake, I think we'd have been all right. We started the game quite well. First 10, 15 minutes. I thought we looked like we were going to be comfortable. And then it just was poor after that, really. And no real positives to take other than the cameo from George Earthy. But then that ended in a negative as well. And thankfully he's okay. But, you know, that was that. No real options from the subs bench to try and change things. I think Paquetá's been poor recently as well. And, you know, I don't want to just single him out because the whole team didn't play well. But you know, when he's just sort of superstar as such, unfortunately, the praise comes with the criticism, and I just think, yeah, generally a very poor performance all round, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was another poor performance to talk about. We just can't defend, can we, X? That is just the overwhelmingly obvious issue that we've got. I mean, once again, we've got overrunning midfield, which I think is a key point to note, because that then exposes our vulnerability in defence. And we just can't defend. I mean, we've conceded 4 goals in the last 2 games. And honestly, in my opinion, if it wasn't for Fabianski, it could have been about 20. And yeah. I'm not exaggerating. You've only got to look at the shot stats in the last 2 games against us. It's fucking horrendous. And, you know, to echo what you're saying, that first goal from that Mavropanos era was just terrible. I don't know what he was thinking. And also, Agüero was ball-watching when he was meant to be marking Pereira. Pereira got to the ball first because Agüero was ball-watching. I thought that was poor. The second goal was also a poor one to concede. Agüero, for me, could have done better to stop the cross. And Alvarez just stopped dead and completely lost his man in the box. And for me, Johnson should have been tracking back a lot quicker as well. So it was just another defensive shit show, really. And yeah. Do you know West Ham have got the joint worst defence outside of the bottom 3 in the Premier League? Did you know that?
No, I didn't, but that doesn't surprise me. You're telling me that, because it just seems that every week we just concede shit goal after shit goal after shit goal. And that is why in the summer we've got to put such a priority on defence and defensive signings, because, you know, like that mistake from Mavropanos is such a schoolboy error. Like, you know, at what point in his whole of his development as a footballer, bearing in mind he's always probably been at the top of when he was a kid, you know, in schools, in youth academies, you know, in the German leagues, a Greek international, he's played for Arsenal, et cetera, et cetera. So he's always played at the top level. At what point has he ever been told, you know, the ball's coming in at an angle, you can get rid of it easily, but no, try and control it when there's two other attackers around you? It was just such a poor decision. And I think not only is it down to ability sometimes of our defence, but the most concerning thing for me is the decision making, the amount of times we don't make the right decision defensively, and it costs us. And yeah, it's so hard to come back when you've conceded and when you've almost lost 2 goals. With Antonio making that miss and then Mavropanos doing that, you know, such a swing so quickly. And you're right to highlight that defensive stat, mate, because our defence has been really, really poor. And, you know, when you criticise Moyes, Moyes always is meant to be a defensively solid manager. When you look at that stat, and we're clearly not. And something has to change in our defence if we're ever going to achieve anything. We just can't ship the amount of easy goals that we do.
It's a shame with Dinos as well, because he's put in some good performances recently. And yeah. I just worry with him that he could be a bit of an Agüero, where you can see real signs of potential, but then it's the inconsistencies, isn't it? It's the rickets. It's the games that cost points, and we can't afford to have that at Premier League level. And that's why the recruitment is so important, to get it right, because, you know, we've got such good players in this side, but then we've got liabilities as well. And we have to put that right, because we're never going to go on to achieve good things unless we do. Yes, we can go on about David Moyes and the fact that he's a defensive manager who's leaking goals left, right and centre, but the players can't hide behind that. Now, these are highly paid professional footballers that, yeah, you know, have a history of playing well. You know, Mavropanos is new to the Premier League, I know, but, you know, Agüero's had time to settle in now. At times, he's been fantastic, but then he's consistent. Kurt Zouma, look at the history he's had. He should be well-established now. Emerson's come in and done fantastic, to be fair to him. But Choufal seems to me to be good going forward, but weak defensively and lacks pace. And I worry when he comes up against a quick winger, which is one reason I play Ben Johnson against Crystal Palace, by the way. But yeah, it is a real concern. It is a real concern. What did you think of the team selection? Did he do the best that he could with what he had, or could he have done better?
When I saw the team, I was quite excited for the fact that both Ings and Antonio are on the pitch, because that doesn't happen very often. I've been saying I think Johnson should be right back for a while now, so I would have done that. Other than that, you know, obviously I was a bit concerned when it was Agüero and Mavropanos, but I understood that Zouma's obviously with his knee and stuff, they probably worried he'd played a few too many games. Suchet not being in the side, you know, I can take, although to be fair to Suchet, I think we were better with him actually on the pitch when he came on. And I thought he's actually played all right recently. So, Yeah, I can understand the team selection. I wasn't annoyed with it. I was kind of like, okay, fair play. Looks like we're actually going for it. But yeah, obviously it didn't work out at all. And I thought Fulham would be kind of on the beach, really, because I don't think they've been that great recently. They've got not a lot to play for. So I was just surprised at how easy we made it for them, really. And, you know, when you've got the likes of Iwobi just like dominating the midfield and stuff, you know, things aren't going your way. And yeah, it's just, another frustrating result this year, definitely.
Well, like you said, we could have got off to a great start early on, but the chance wasn't taken. Was that one of the most Antonio finishes you've ever seen?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the ball's still coming down now, isn't it?
It's going to hit one of us on the head in a minute.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was, you know, remember when West Ham Clips used to do it, hitting the spaceman and stuff? It was literally one of those. It was just so ridiculous, such a lack of composure. I mean, in fairness to him, it did come quick to him, and there was, you know, the goalie and defenders around him. But, you know, just if any forward with a bit of composure, you just take your time, knock it slightly to the right, and then you've got a whole goal to aim at and stuff. And but he just doesn't do composure, does he? I mean, as I've always said, he's the world's shittest player, or the shittest greatest player. Like, I just don't quite know what he is. Like, sometimes, you know, against Leverkusen, for example, a couple of times he ran their defence ragged, you know, turned them inside out, sprinted through, burst of pace. Considering he's 34, he's still very quick. And yet, and you think, oh, he's brilliant, well played, Antonio, you're a right handful, you're a great player. And then he gets chances like that where he just can't compose himself. And, you know, if we'd scored that with the record that you mentioned about Fulham, you know, their heads would have gone down. I think that would have changed the game massively. So, and this is why we've got to get a forward that has class in the box. You know, it's all fair and well converting wingers, as we've done successfully with Arnautovic, Bowen, Antonio, because what you're getting from them is you're getting their pace and their trickery and their sort of directness running at goal, which is great for a forward. And I'm not necessarily putting Bowen and Arnautovic in Antonio's league, but certainly with him, he hasn't got that composure, that fox in the box nature, that sort of, you know, predatory instinct that a forward that's been a forward all of their career and a top quality one has. And that's why we have to get a forward, in my opinion. I know we could say, well, Bowen's done this year and we've got Antonio, but we don't have that out and out forward. I mean, Danny Ings should be it, but for whatever reason with him, I thought he did all right. To be fair, he wasn't great, but he did all right yesterday. But he's obviously coming towards the end of his career. But if we'd got him 10 years ago, you know, someone like that is what we need, like a decent finisher. But it's, we just don't have that. And that lack of composure's cost us again.
Mickey is such an enigma. And he is quite incredible, really, because he either does something incredible or something incredibly shit, like you was alluding to. And it's amazing. I mean, he has got some good qualities. He's as strong as an ox, which means his hold-up play can be brilliant sometimes, and he can bully defenders, and he's quick, and at times he can score some great goals. I mean, he's our all-time fucking Premier League goal scorer. It's incredible. But then you, at times, you just hold your head in your hands, and you think you're watching someone playing with a dog and duck. Do you know what I mean? So strange with him.
I think what you just said there is important, the dog and duck thing, because there's no surprise, in my opinion, that he wasn't at an academy as a kid. You know, you look at his career, he's had to make his way up from, you know, non-league Tooting and Mitcham, wasn't it, or something like that, and make his way up from those leagues via, you know, Sheffield Wednesday, Nottingham Forest, teams like that, and get to where he's got. And fair play, lots of players have done that. But the reason I say this is because clearly when he was a kid, when kids are sort of, you know, maybe roughly the same side and you're looking for their technical ability, he wouldn't have had the technical ability to stand out and be good enough for the likes of West Ham or, you know, local teams to think, yeah, he's good enough for academies. What happened when he was obviously younger is when he developed into a man. You know, he was quick, he was strong, he was powerful, and that physique was enough to, like, almost compensate for not having the ability. And it does. And at times it does. It still does it at Premier League level. And let's not you know, go wrong. He's been an international for both England, although he never actually, I don't think, officially got on the pitch. He was in the squad. He's been a Jamaican international. He's played in the Premier League since we signed him now, and been our top goal scorer. So you can't knock the fact that he's been a great signing for us. You go back in time and you think we got him for about, what was it, 10 million from Nottingham Forest, something like that. He's actually been an amazing signing. And he will go down, not as a legend at the club, but certainly as a very popular former player. But it's amazing when you think about it, because he isn't actually technically that good. So it's just crazy.
Yeah, it's just such a strange one. Honestly, it really is. Well, here's what Deluded Dave had to say in his post-match interview.
David, first things first, is there any update on George Earthy after the hobble incident in the game?
Look, it was a horrible situation for young George, just getting his debut and really... He actually started the game really well as well with the ball. It was excellent. So he's got a head injury, which he is awake, and he's been taken to hospital. So hopefully everything's okay.
Moving on to the game, what are your thoughts? Obviously disappointing result.
Yeah, disappointing.
Obviously the start, I think the first 9 minutes before the goal went in, we had the stronger part of it, didn't we? Were you disappointed with the way that they scored, and did that change the game?
I thought we had the stronger part for the best part of 20, 25 minutes. I really did. I thought we missed two big chances before they scored, and we needed that to be clinical. We needed those moments so that we could, you know, we wouldn't need to give out too much energy in the game. As the game went on, we ran out of energy. But look, I'm really disappointed with the whole thing, with it all. But I actually felt that we'd started the game relatively well and we'd made chances, but we didn't take the moments when we got them.
There's been a lot made of the turnaround in games and the amount of games you've got. Are the players feeling that a little bit, do you think?
Of course they are, yeah. I mean, I think April, we've got 7 games in April, something like that. We're sort of getting through towards the mid to the end of it. But look, today was a really important game for us. We knew if we won today, we'd go 6th in the league. So I'm really, really disappointed that we couldn't put on a better show than what we did do. But I generally think that we had the chances and we didn't take them.
And then another quick turnaround. Does that give you a chance to sort of bounce back as quickly as possible?
Well, it's a quick turnaround, but not as quick as coming Thursday to Sunday. You know, Sunday to Thursday, you get an extra day or two to get yourself ready. It's a little bit easier to prepare for that game. But the Thursday to Sunday one gives you just about no time at all. So we'll hopefully get ready for the game on Thursday night now.
And just finally, Dinos went off as well. Was that another knock? How's he?
Yeah, we've picked up a couple of knocks, so we'll find out how they are later on. I've not had a chance to speak to the medical team yet.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
X, I'm so fed up with Moyes hiding behind this excuse of playing Thursday and then Sunday. And I know it's an ongoing debate. I know if you speak to Mad Dog, he says categorically it does affect the players. I think you can see that point of view as well. But then on the flip side, we've consistently finished high in the Premier League whilst playing in Europe. Mikel Antonio's come out and said that he doesn't believe it affects the players. And I don't know. I think Moyes gives the impression that it has such an unbelievable impact on players. In which case, how did Villa go to Arsenal win 2-0? Because they played on Thursday. Leverkusen, they won 5-0 at the weekend. Honestly, I think he hides behind it. And even if it was that crippling to the squad, maybe try some rotation. Maybe give some of the academy boys a chance. Maybe sign some fucking players in January. Honestly, it does my head in. Nothing is ever his fault. Nothing is ever his fault. And that comes across, I think, in these interviews that he does. He really does carry an arrogance about it. And if it's not gone his way, it's because of someone else or some other reason. Do you know what I mean? And these post-match interviews are getting on my tits a little bit. I'll be straight with you.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying, definitely. And you're making a fair point about the, you know, the European games being a factor. I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is what you said there is the lack of rotation. And the reason, in a way, there's a lack of rotation is because we sold players that didn't bring in the right players in January. You know, we brought in Phillips, who has a injury, inverted commas. You know, has been out for a couple of weeks now, barely played. And when he has played, has been off the pace. Got rid of Benrahma and Fornals now. Yeah, okay, neither of them were particularly doing great things for us at the time we got rid of them, but it was still two players that you could have looked to bring in. And then it's put with the fact that he won't give the academy a chance, and you got someone like Cornet, God knows what's wrong with him, but, you know, he won't even get a look in. But the thing that we've always harped on about the academy, and people have said, well, you know, how do you know that some of these academy players are going to be better than the players like established internationals? I look at George Earthy. Okay, yeah, he only played 3 minutes. And what he did was very good. But the difference was is that he constantly wanted the ball and was making runs and for it, getting into space. The reason he got injured is because he was running back, trying to cover, and, you know, was all over the place and stuff. And, you know, and I think when you look at the effort alone, just the effort alone he was putting in, that's the reason. You give some of these kids a chance because they'll put the effort and they'll put the shift in, even if they're not going to be maybe technically that good, as good as some of the more established players, the effort levels outweigh it. And I think the whole mood of the game changed when George Earthy came on. It felt it was quite negative. We were losing, but he came on and it suddenly said, "Oh, actually, go on, kid, you're doing well here. This is, you know, we've been well played, you know," and he did a couple of good things. It felt a bit more positive. And then obviously, that in itself gives a lift to the West Ham supporters. And I think Moyes is just too stubborn with the squad he's got to try anything different. And you're right, I think this is the problem he's got. He's created this real, you know, people hate Moyes. I mean, some of the stuff you see online from certain accounts, and we don't need to name them, but most people will see them. Some of the stuff that they come out with towards a manager, and let's have it right, has achieved for West Ham is vile, is absolutely awful. Some of the things they say, and they do. Yeah, it's horrific, mate. Some of these channels that are so hell-bent on saying what a useless manager is, what a horrible bloke he is, et cetera, et cetera. But I don't agree with it at all. But it's these interviews that don't help. You know, a bit of humility, humbleness at times helps your, I don't know, it can help you in certain situations and can buy you more sympathy. And I think you're right. Sometimes he does just have to put his hands up and say, look, I don't think I got the team right today. We didn't start in the same, you know, the correct way. You know, Antonio, he took that charge. We're not defending properly. Just be honest. Take some responsibility, and I think it's better for you in the long term to do that.
Absolutely, mate. And going back to the academy players and the opportunities that aren't necessarily being given to them, the other point to make with that as well is how good they're supposed to be. So it's not just about, you know, giving them an opportunity and finding out if they can make it at this level. You know, they are supposed to be a really quality bunch of lads. And when you look back on, you know, the Rio Ferdinand era, Frank Lampard, Joe Cole, those academy days, we hit a bit of a low, I think, in terms of producing talent, with the odd exception like Declan Rice, from that point to this. But I don't remember hearing more of a buzz around our academy than I do now since those days. So if Liverpool, fucking Liverpool, can give opportunities to academy players, why can't West Ham? Exactly. And this is one problem that Moyes has got massively.
Definitely. And the thing is as well, what I don't get from that perspective as well is why Moyes doesn't want to be the manager that when he looks back, you know, when he's retired or whatever, can say, oh, I was the one that gave this player a start.
Rooney at Everton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rooney, look at Tim Sherwood's been dining off the fact that he gave Harry Kane his debut at Spurs. Like, you know, why does he not want to be the one, like you said, that brought through Rooney, brought through Earthy, brought through Orford, etc., etc.? Like, why does he not want to be that manager? And I don't understand it. Does he genuinely think that, you know, Lewis Orford can't do a job that Calvin Phillips has done? Does he genuinely think that George Earthy can't do a job that, I don't know, Benrahma or Cornet was doing? Like, I don't know. It seems very odd because he praised Earthy in the press conference, you know, rightly so, given the impact he had and then the serious nature of what happened to him. And he said he's done brilliantly in training recently. He's a great kid. We all know how good he is. Well, why has it taken until like the last, I don't know, few months of the season when we've sold Benrahma for hours, when we've got injuries for him to get his chance? He's been this good since. You know, I've known George Earthy for about a year and a half, 2 years now, and obviously he would have been too young 2 years ago. But certainly at the start of this season, he's been as good then as he is now. And why has it taken so long to get that acknowledgement?
It's crazy. And, you know, it's not for them to say, and they wouldn't say, and if they were here now, I wouldn't put them on the spot. But it must be incredibly frustrating for the academy coaches that are working with these kids, and they will know that they will be attracting interest elsewhere, which is another reason why we have to try and bleed them into the squad. But it must just feel like they're not being listened to, because they must be going to David Moyes and saying, you know, I think this boy's ready. I think this boy should have 10, 20 minutes as and when you can give it to him. But it just seems like it falls upon deaf ears. Yes, I know there's been the odd opportunity given, but nowhere near enough. And like we've had this conversation so many times on the podcast, you know, if you're one of the boys, you'd seriously have to start thinking about where your future's going to lie, especially if Moyes gets a new contract. You know, because you don't want to be a Connor Coventry where you barely kicked a ball until 23 for West Ham. Do you know what I mean? Because football's about playing, it's about enjoyment, first team football. And these kids, by the sounds of it, are good enough to get it at a number of clubs. So hopefully that is something that changes. I want to speak about George Earthy, because that was a really disturbing moment in that game. And he was a ray of light when he came on, and his family must have been so proud of him because they're West Ham fans as well. And I hope he was proud of himself, because for those few minutes, he really did look lively and he did a really good job. We know that he's been discharged from hospital now. What else can you tell us, X? Do you know at this point what the kind of the injuries are and how he is in himself?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to save it for my section, but because of that, I think it's important West Ham fans know now we're very lucky in what we do. If the West Ham Way events, because we have set a podcast and stuff, that we have genuine fans that listen to us as the people that are listening now, big West Ham fans, and these include West Ham fans that have connections to the club. Now, George Earthy's dad, Paul, is an absolutely diamond fella. Him and his mates come to our events. You know, I think we've spoken to him at the events before, and he's there. He comes regularly, and I know him through academy games. I've got to know the family very well, and they're lovely people. Really, he's got two older brothers, a bit like Declan, two older brothers. And they're big West Ham fans, season ticket holders, etc. Goes to lots of the games, and they're lovely people. And you know, they've been pushing for their son to get his debut for West Ham ever since, you know, he would have got into West Ham, because that'd be all of their dreams. So after he had a bit of a, you know, he's always been touted as one of the best players at West Ham. Been in the academy since he was five. He's been in England's under 15s and squads and stuff. So he's always been, you know, one of the highly rated ones. But recently, at the start of the year, it appeared that Moyes didn't like him, mainly probably because of his physique. You know, he's not the biggest and so on. But that would have really hurt them. But it seems that recently he's really played his way into the manager's thoughts, hence why he's been on the bench and he's starting to get on the pitch and stuff. So this was a massive moment. His Premier League debut for the club he's been at since he's five. Massive West Ham fan. As you said, he's looked really, really lively, really, really good in those first 3, 4 minutes. And then boom, that's happened out of nowhere. So unlucky. And what could have been a very, very serious injury. Thankfully, I did message the family last night, and I've spoken to them this morning to check on behalf of myself as a, you know, someone that gets on well with them, but also on behalf of West Ham fans that were like massively concerned about him, what the situation is. He went to hospital last night with his head and a neck brace, went to one up London, I think. He then had scans. The scans proved to be okay. The first little scans, although I think he's broken his nose, And then they had second lots of scans, which he got back at about midnight last night. He was watching Match of the Day. I've seen a cool photo of him watching Match of the Day in his earthy kit in the waiting room of the hospital. And then he was discharged about midnight, went home, back to his house. I think he lives sort of Loughton way, back home there. And he's just resting up now. Apparently the first thing he was worried about was when he's going to be able to train and play again, because obviously he's buzzing and wants to be feature as much as he can. But he's obviously got to take it easy. There's I think it's 12 days, 10 to 12 days protocol by the Premier League if you have concussion, that you can't play a game anyway. So he'll miss the European game and he'll miss Palace next weekend. I think he might be able to do some light training from Friday onwards, but he'll be out for the next couple of weeks anyway because of the protocols. But yeah, as he's fine, obviously a massively shaky, traumatic, scary moment for his family, as it was for all of us. We can only imagine what it's like when that's your son that's happened to. But yeah, he's on the mend, and I think actually I was saying this to the family, that whilst it's horrific what he went through and you wouldn't wish that upon anyone, actually long term it might endear him to the fans even more, because he was doing so well and like no one likes to see a player go through that. Long term, it might even have, you know, raised his profile with the fans that little bit more, to try and take a positive from a negative. And he's shown in those 3 minutes, 4 minutes, what a great player he is. So I look forward to, I think next season there'll be big things from him. So I think he's on the mend, and thankfully all is good.
Yeah, good. Good to hear. And we wish him the very best in his recovery. By the way, I thought the way Fulham fans conducted themselves when George was getting treatment was proper scummy, by the way. They've gone down in my estimation. I thought that was terrible.
Yeah, it was a strange one, that. Yeah, like, I was trying to picture if it was a West Ham away game to try and give Fulham some credit, like, or some respect or whatever. If that was a West Ham away game and we were winning, and that happened to an opposition player, how would West Ham fans behaved? And I was trying to think of it from that perspective. But yeah, I don't think we would have been chanting like we were when we could see, like they were, when you can see the seriousness of the injury. It wasn't like, you know, one of Paqueta's where he's rolling around on the floor for ages and then gets up and there's nothing wrong with him. You can clearly tell that the fella was, you know, knocked out, if not badly concussed and lying stricken on the pitch. And he's a youngster. You know, I do agree. I think they could have shown a bit more class. Their manager did, in fairness, but I think he actually said something like, you know, thoughts are with them, almost cover up, I think, for the Fulham fan base a little bit by saying that. But yeah, I agree, it wasn't the most tactful, that's for sure.
Yeah, and they set fire to the fucking carpet, didn't they? Did you see that?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
How dare they? A beautiful claret carpet, burnt it with a fucking pyro. Unbelievable. Yeah, exactly. Antonio ain't going to be happy.
No, exactly. He could have rolled around and put it out. That'd have been his only use.
Oh, dear. Well, unbelievably, we are still only 2 points from sixth place, X. Yeah. Are you still feeling optimistic that we're going to finish in the top seven?
It's a tough one because Manchester United and Newcastle are a bit inconsistent at the moment, aren't they? They're our biggest threat. You know, possibly Brighton or Chelsea could come from beneath. Our fixtures aren't easy when you look at them. You know, I would have said we would have beaten Fulham, which we obviously didn't. I would like to have thought we would have beaten Palace, but then look at the result they've just got. So none of our fixtures are easy at Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City. So it's going to be a massive, tough ask. It really, really is. Maybe going out of Europe might, if we do, might help us in the league, because that will stop that excuse of playing twice a week. We won't be able to focus fully on them. I think we're going to be hard pushed to get sixth. I think we'll be hard pushed to get seventh. I think we'll finish eighth or ninth.
Well, let's talk about last Thursday, because it was always going to be a tough game against a good side, a side that have now been crowned Bundesliga champions. Give us your thoughts on the game.
I thought we did all right for the first 80 minutes. You know, like at the end of the day, even a 1-0 loss there wouldn't have been the end of the world. But certainly, if we got the 0-0 draw, which it was looking like we would do, then it would have been a really good result. Of course, the stats are horrendous. That one shot, I think it is, and 33% or whatever possession. Yes, the stats are horrendous, but as I've always said, the result is the ultimate thing that you're looking for. And I think we were very close to getting a very good result against a team that are, you know, exceptional at the moment. You know, they've won the league, as you said. They haven't lost a game. I think they've only... There's only something like four or five games they haven't won. You know, they're smashing everything. And, you know, if West Ham was to lose 2-0 to Bayern Munich, or Borussia Dortmund away from home, you'd probably say, OK, that was to be expected. But because it's Leverkusen, people are almost saying it's a bad result. It is a bad result because it's put us in a very dodgy position. But Leverkusen are a better team than West Ham, it has to be said. Of course, I think the German league isn't quite as strong maybe as the Premier League, but still, all things considered, Leverkusen are where they are because they're a strong team. We didn't play particularly well, but we almost got a good result. But unfortunately, again, defensively, we've let ourselves down at the end with a lack of concentration properly towards the end. The game's not over. If we get an early goal in the second leg, then that can really give us a chance. But it depends on how well we start that second leg.
I find him would have scored that as well. I'm not saying we'd have won the game, but what an opportunity that was for him. And you'd have put your house on that as well. So that didn't give us the best of starts, did it? But no, I make you right. I think that was our one and only shot. And I think they had 33 shots. So I don't think it was a good performance. I do think it was a good result up until 80 minutes. And like you say, and I think most fans would agree, even if you come away with a 1-0 deficit, that's not the end of the world. For me, I think the second goal's killed the tie, personally, because they are a very, very good side. And I think we've given ourselves a mountain to climb, especially with key players missing. And that is key as well. You know, that if we'd have had key players there and hope to God that Leverkusen had been on a 5-day bender after winning the league, then I think we could have a puncher's chance. I think we need a miracle, personally. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I can't see us progressing in this tournament. And unfortunately, you know, you'd have to say, you've got to put your hands up and say we lost to the better side, because they're smashing everyone at the moment. And a huge amount of credit has to go to Xavi Alonso, who looks like he really has got a future in management. Incredible.
Yeah, I thought their football, to be fair, at times was brilliant. You know, I don't usually notice the opposition that much because my attention is just focused on what West Ham are doing generally. But in that game, some of the interchanges between their attacking players, some of the composure in bringing the ball out of defence, some of the movement of their players was top drawing. You can see what a clever coach he is. And, you know, he's just continued from being the clever player that he was. You know, he was a classy central midfielder. At the peak of his game, was one of the best midfielders in the world. Hence why he played for, you know, won the Champions League with Liverpool, won the World Cup with Spain, won everything with Real Madrid. You know, he's obviously a quality player, and he's transferred that ability as a player to a manager. And I thought it was a real good performance by them. And you only have to look, as you said, at their league performances, and you can see what a team they actually are. And you know, strange, because Leverkusen is a very, very small, strange place. And it's also a team like that good from a place like that. But it's credit to them. I think I'm not as pessimistic about this tie. I think it's a massive ask. And I think if you was to ask me to bet on how I wanted it to go, you know, with all my family savings, I would bet that we would go out. However, I do think an early goal for us in that game, let's say we get one within the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, you know, that tie is back on. And then it will just be a case of hopefully being tight at the back and then nicking another. But we'll see. We'll see.
We will. Palace on Sunday after that. And they've just got a massive result at Anfield. How do you think that's going to go?
I would have said I fancied our chances. But after this weekend, it's sort of given me a bit of a down thought about it. We tend to do all right at Palace. It's one of the grounds that we sort of tend to do better at. A London derby, you know, I think how Thursday goes will have an impact as well. You know, if we get battered on Thursday and it's all quite negative, then I think we'll play negatively on Sunday, unfortunately, and probably lose. If we get a decent performance, even if we go out a decent performance on Thursday, that might encourage us to put a decent performance on Sunday. So it's a bit swings and roundabouts. I think everything, I think a lot of it depends on how we do on Thursday before you can judge Sunday. And then obviously that will depend on the fitness of the players as well. As you've mentioned, Pakatar and Emerson can't play in that game. So you know that they'll be fresh for Sunday. And, you know, Pakatar needs to start contributing a bit more again for me. I thought he was poor against Fulham, gives the ball away too much. I think he's got to start performing again. So maybe it will depend on how he does on Sunday. But as to call it, probably going to stay a draw, I think.
Well, time will tell. OK, it's that time again.
Calling all West Ham fans. Are you a patron of the West Ham way? If not, why not? For the price of a pint, you get top quality content on a daily basis, to include the famous West Ham Way podcast with Dave and X, over 100 interviews with ex-players and celebrity fans, Mad Dog Bites with Martin Allen, a show with Tony Cotty, the U Irons podcast, the West Ham Way USA, a transfer window show with Demis Sheff, and expert pre-match analysis. There are virtual events with ex-players, written articles, match day discussion, away day burger reviews, in-depth match reports, and if you want to be the first to get reliable, accurate, exclusive news on all club affairs, you'll get exactly that from the best ITK in the business, ex-West Ham United employee. All that and more delivered to your phone for a fiver a month. It's the daddy.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.